Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with the generous Professor H.J. Mackinder, commenting on Six Capital, Six Points of View. And the Six Capital, each week we move around because there are many voices who are contributing to the general chaos at the EU, at NATO, certainly bilaterally at ministers' meetings of the G20. One capital I'm familiar with because I speak with it often every other week or every week to a correspondent there is Bucharest, the capital of Romania. Why this matters is the map. Look at the map. Romania is the Black Sea Basin. Romania borders Moldova and Ukraine. Romania has served since the beginning of the war access route for supplies, chiefly food, coming out of Ukraine, and supplies, chiefly weapons and other material, going into Ukraine to Odessa, part of the country never brought under serious attack by the Russian Federation. There were early moments of shelling on the beach, but it didn't happen. Moldova is a landlocked little country of 2.6 million people in between Romania and Ukraine. Over these last weeks, it's not just been fear of the unknown. It's been fear of the genuine. Talk of a coup in Chisinau, the capital. Talk of airspace being closed, and it was momentarily closed over the airport at Chisinau. Threats by Moscow, so much so that the chastisement includes breaking off relations in some fashion, not a treaty relations, but conversations with Moldova. The president of Moldova, a woman named Sandu, is a Romanian. However, the Moldovan population, I'm told, is entirely Russian-speaking. This was a Russian-Soviet socialist republic for the 20th century. It is also made up of pieces that are not cohesive. For example, part of Moldova has been in rebellion, reaction, withdrawal called Transnistria. It's a mountainous region where we're told there's an old Soviet arsenal and about 1,500 Soviet-era troops who are now Russian troops. There is also a group associated with a breakaway. This is the land of the Cossacks and other tribes. So I can't characterize the tribe that is not entirely united with Chisinau. But right now it's saying, what's in it for us? They border Romania and Ukraine. So we've got a mixed picture, little country. But Moldova is not part of NATO, but it is a candidate for the EU. What I'm told in Bucharest is here's what matters. Bucharest right now is overwhelmed with refugees from Ukraine, as are all the states of the European Union. I learned the other day in Ireland there are 80,000 Ukrainian refugees. Can't find housing for them. Ireland can't find housing for its own population. That's true throughout Europe, taking in refugees. Good for them. But the refugee flow into Romania is especially rich, and they believe that the refugee flow would be crushing in the event that Russia moves. So, Professor, Bucharest is not the only capital that's anxious, but it's representative. Their point of view, can they ride this out as long as it takes? Because they're powerless. They don't make the decisions that Washington and Germany and France make, but they're nonetheless asked to struggle along without a voice.
Well, I have I'm not sure that I completely agree. I think that the fact that this emerging hardline entente is called the Bucharest Nine plus, and I always add two more, this means something. There's no way that they are going to let themselves be overwhelmed. But what you say about the refugees, in fact, all the things that come up, remind us of how major this war is and what a defining effect it's going to have, however it's resolved, on what lies ahead, and therefore how culpable it is of Washington to sort of pretend that it isn't going on or that it's somehow going to solve itself. This should be, we should have people, the lights should be on 24 hours a day, working on every detail of this war. Now, Moldova is, I mean, it's about the size of Connecticut. The part that you talk about, so-called Transnistria, broke away in 1992 when the Russians sent troops in. It's very important because it's where the Moldovan and the Ukrainian border would be. In other words, the border between those two countries is Russian controlled. However, and they have their own capital, Tiraspol, and so forth. Some people say, and I think it's quite right, that if Mr. Putin, I see Mr. Putin is looking for a solution, any solution other than a military, just a straight go beat the bad guys solution. One of the things he's doing is he's sort of sticking his finger into the geography around Russia. And Moldova is, it's not of great strategic importance. It, for instance, it does not extend to the Black Sea. The Ukraine is to its south, but it is, it abuts directly on far more important countries. But an attempt to take over Moldova would probably be successful. But on the other hand, that's not where the war is going to be won. That's not going to be decisive. If Putin wants to defeat Ukraine, he has to defeat them in Ukraine. He can't defeat them in Moldova or in Romania or anywhere else. And he doesn't like that. He's looking for a magical military, i.e. a nuclear solution or a geographical solution. And what many people say, and I'm inclined to think about it, this is, he, as I've said, he's always trying to pull a rabbit out of a hat that's going to save him from what looks to be coming along, which is a kind of a Russian disintegration of their military effort and defeat. But he is always looking for distractions. And actually, to invade Moldova, among other things, to get to Moldova, he'd have to conquer the south of Ukraine, which he does not control right now. Now, you mentioned the Black Sea Basin, and I think that this is important. Of course, Moldova is, and Romania and Bulgaria and Turkey are the key states. Russia's actual naval presence in the Black Sea is Crimea, which I believe is highly vulnerable. I think that that's where the war is going to be resolved, although the Ukrainians are talking about resolving it in Moscow. I certainly hope that doesn't come to that. But we should, if we want them to win in Crimea, we've got to give them serious weapons like we would want to use if we were involved in that kind of thing. But if you look at the map, Russia really has Rostov-na-Don, they've got Novorossiysk. Those are both sort of cities where they could have a fleet. Novorossiysk is probably the best, and Sochi, which is right on the Georgian border and is a very it's not a very impressive place. It's not strategic, but I would point out that the Russians have been reducing their naval presence in the Black Sea. They're down to three vessels which carry these caliber missiles, and they may have 16 or 20 caliber missiles, but they've got two submarines that carry missiles, and they've got one surface ship. And how do they get there? The only way they can get there is to come from the very, very east of Russia, at the eastern shore of the Black Sea. And that is a place like Novorossiysk is not well connected to the Russian logistical network. And the other thing that we have to bear in mind is that Turkey has now said that Finland and Sweden are going to enter NATO. And remember, the Turks are the ones who control the Dardanelles, and they control the Bosporus, and they control access to the Black Sea. So Russia, I don't see I see Crimea as potentially being a very, very major piece as this war hopefully comes to an end. But I don't think that there's going to be a showdown. There's not going to be a sort of new Trafalgar between the Ukrainian Navy and the Russian Navy, because the Russian Navy in the Black Sea is now very small, and they don't want to lose any more ships. And it's not the strategic heart by any means.
Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, the second year of war. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.